You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 75 of Ravens Weekly, proudly brought to you by our friends at GPM Group. I'm joined by James today. James, how are we doing?
I'm good, thanks, Matt. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. And we were speaking about it just before we started recording, actually. You made a good point that 75 years is a diamond wedding anniversary, isn't it?
It is, so it's our diamond anniversary, I suppose.
In terms of podcast episodes, yeah, we're there, aren't we? What an incredible achievement, actually, for us to get that far. Normally, absolutely, we get to sort of 10, 11 and then we just stop.
Yeah, filters off again. But no, we've stuck it out this time and it's good to, again, be back doing it on a regular basis now. Well, we've only managed 2 weeks so far, but hopefully it carries on into next week as well.
And of course, we wouldn't be here without all the listeners. So we wouldn't be doing it without them because we wouldn't have anyone to do it for. So
absolutely,
big thank you to all of you for listening and putting up with us week after week. We are back in the routine, like you say now, James, of doing it week by week. So we should be bringing you another episode next week. Before we get started on today's topics, we've got a voice note for you from someone very familiar.
Hi, guys. It's a long time since I've spoken and left a message, but I'd like to just say I hope you're all safe, all well, all the family are good. It's been a long time, really missing not having the football, training with the players, coaching the players, getting the games with the players, and obviously the best effect is doing all this in front of you guys as the supporters, cheering us on, getting behind us and giving us the encouragement that you gave us all last season. It has been a difficult time. I'm hoping that we're getting through the other side. We can see that there's football on telly now. You know, the playoffs are getting played. But I think the one thing that you do notice more than anything at the moment is that all the football you can watch, it's not the same without that support. It's not the same without the supporters getting behind you and encourage you on. So I'm hoping, you know, with all this football that's on telly, that there is some good news, that we do start getting dates of when we're back in and when we can start getting back to normal and getting the games being played down at Hayes Lane with you guys as the supporters cheering us on. Stay safe and hope to speak to you and see you very, very soon.
Great to hear from Neil. James?
Yeah, absolutely. Wonder if he's out on his daily run or something. Sounded a bit windy,
like,
didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit windy. Well, it's perfect weather for... Well, I say perfect weather. Yeah. I won't be putting myself out there in this heat doing running. But
no chance.
It is nice, isn't it, at the minute? And great to see everybody training in this weather as well, which we're going to come on to in a second. But yes, big thank you to Neil for that. It's great to just hear that voice again, isn't it, that we've all missed. I know we've all really missed it.
And
the supporters will as well, I'm sure. And nice to know that he's thinking of everybody as well and just can't wait to get back. I think we're all the same in that respect, aren't we?
Definitely. And he brings up a good point about obviously football being back on the telly. Matt, have you been watching much of that at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I know you've been watching a bit more than me, but I think it's a bit strange, isn't it, in terms of the fact you've got the option of the crowd noise and no crowd noise. What have you been going for?
I've been watching it with the crowd noise.
Yeah.
I think I was speaking to Smudge the other day as well, just having that sort of subliminal noise in the background, sort of, it means you're not constantly worrying about, I know it's so easy to not miss it, but you know, the fact that there is no crowd there, you sort of feel a bit like you're not drawn to it as much as you probably would be if you weren't listening to it without. But I think, to be fair, that they've been doing a decent job at it. And I bet it must, you know, the sound mixers must have their work cut out now. It's places like Sky and BT Sport, you know, doing that. They probably didn't have to do much in terms of actually creating live sound effects before. But yeah, now they're full into that. And it's actually quite interesting to sort of look at that aspect as well. But
in the Premier League games, they'll be getting the fans on Zoom as well,
yeah,
aren't they, for their live reaction.
Yeah, that's been interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, so once a goal is scored, they sort of cut to, the fans' reactions. And there's always, you know, it seems to be like the odd one that just has disconnects at that time, exact time. So that's always a bit funny. But I suppose that's the new normal at the minute. And as you say, the first game, it was all so strange. But I think now everyone, even though it's only a couple of games, and is sort of used to it. And everyone's getting used to what, you know, you've got the water breaks and things like that. A lot of the first half has been quite slow affairs as well. That seems to be quite a common theme in a lot of the games. But it is good to just have so much football back, especially at a time where we probably would have been having the Euro Championships going on. It almost does feel like that, the fact you've got football every single day and you've got games to choose from at different times of day as well. So I suppose at least we've got that to keep us occupied during this time as well.
You mentioned the Euros there. We would have been all sat with a cold beer watching those in the Ravens bar, wouldn't we?
Along with
some other supporters, which would have been really, really nice. But we can hope for that in the not-too-distant future. But it's great to have it back. But I know I've seen the discussions on social media pages and such like, and it's just not quite the same,
no,
is it?
No, of course not.
And it's not trying to be, in fairness. But it's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. But you know, the main thing for us and the main thing for anyone listening to this podcast is being back on the terrace at Hayes Lane, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we can be back there in a matter of months. But as you said, there's a long time still for that to happen. I suppose in the meantime, we've got, as well as the Premier League football and the Championship football, we've got all the playoffs happening. League Two playoffs final, I think, on Monday night coming. And we've also obviously got supposedly we've got the National League playoffs to come as well. So
yes, that's right. Yeah.
Plenty of football to look forward to and watch over the next few weeks. But yeah, as you say, Matt, the idea is hopefully to get this season out of the way and then put our full focus onto the next season, hopefully when that can start.
Yes, and fingers crossed, the rough September, mid to end of September date, we'll be able to go ahead. And we will obviously bring you news of that as and when we have it in the coming weeks. As we said earlier, we are back in the routine of doing the regular podcast now, so we are something of a news outlet for you all, and we will of course keep you informed with any developments we get in or around the National League. So James, we've had a Kitterham clearance as well, haven't we, which we discussed last week. It's I think it's safe to say it's been a success, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And yeah, we just want to, again, we mentioned it last week, as you say, we just want to thank everyone for the support that we've had on this. There was no doubt in our minds that it would be a fantastic thing for us to do. The fact that it's, you know, match printed shirts and things like that are so rare and definitely have that collector's item feel to them, we knew they'd completely go as soon as they can. And yeah, we've raised an absolute fantastic amount of money for the club doing so through the club shop. And it was, of course, still online. So if you head to our website, you can head to the club shop section. There is still the remaining home, away, third match shirts in a various range of sizes. Obviously, them being the players' shirts, they tend to don't go bigger than sizes XL down to size small. So just bear that in mind. But we do have some replica shirts still available as well. And as well as that, we have plenty of other items on the club shop. We've got the winter hats, which obviously are completely out of season now, but
they have been selling, though.
They have been selling, you're right.
And the bubble hats, yeah.
The bubble hats have been selling. We've also got a very popular item at the minute. I know I've had a few academy coaches actually text me saying, can you please reserve one for me? Because I know they'll probably go, and that's, of course, the Bromley FC teddy bear.
Yeah, the bears are back in town, aren't they?
Back in
town. The tweet we put out yesterday. Yeah, we've got a lot of them, haven't we?
We have,
So they're all looking for a home. So if anyone's, you know, look after a bear, they are the official Bromley Bears.
Absolutely, yeah. Just to go back to the pricing, so if you are hoping to get your hands on one of the match shirts, they are priced at £30. The replicas are at £20. And if you're looking at some of the other items, the bubble hats, for example, are £15, as are the winter hats, and the teddy bears are £10. So yeah, just jump onto our website, that's bromleyfc.co.uk, head to the club shop section. And online club shop is back live.
Yes, and like James says, not only the players' shirts and match shirts, there are other things on there as well. There's a small amount of training kits left, I believe, as
well. Yes, that's true.
The top you're actually wearing at the minute, the navy blue, I think they're only available in size small, but there's a small number of them still available, and they were very popular. Perfect for this kind of temperature as well at the moment, and obviously what all of the coaches and staff are wearing when they're working at the minute.
Absolutely. I think they're priced at £20. Correct me if I'm wrong, £20 on the website. So, yeah, again, just jump on. All the availability, all the stock that is actually in the club shop and available to send out is listed on the website. That's updated regularly. And a reminder that these are not collection items. These will be posted out to you.
And the turnaround that we've had on the postage has actually been fantastic. It's been really great to see one day we're posting the items out and the next day actually people are tweeting us pictures. And we had quite a few pictures, didn't we? People really, really impressed with the items that they've got and the turnaround. It's really been fantastic to sort of see that.
A few went down as Father's Day presents, actually.
Yes,
I saw
perfect timing.
Tweets, yeah.
Alan Dunn's, I think, quite proud of that all his shirts have sold now. But we have still got some good names downstairs. I think we've still got some Sam Wood shirts. Ben Williamson's down there as well. Alfie Doughty, still got a couple of his shirts.
Again, a massive shirt.
A championship player. Season championship player.
Well, we said this last week, didn't we? We gave special mention to Sean Mikulski's shirt, the fact that it was a Notts County game winner. Alfie Doughty, of course, scored in that game as well to give us the lead. Potentially this podcast, our little plug here, might help it on its way to
win. Well, that one sold.
The home shirt sold.
So Alfie Doughty's away in third or available, okay. I think. But yeah, again a championship player. It's not often you get that opportunity, no. Is it? And yes, we, like James said, we've got plenty of playing ones as well. So do head to the club shop. It is a way to support the club in these times and actually get your hands on some great stuff. A few people have been asking, James, about new kits and things like that. Obviously, we're not in a position to confirm anything like that in a minute. Normally, we would be ordering them now. Yeah. We would have a confirmed design, which we would have been able to share with supporters. But obviously, like we've said, with any other things that go on around the club, we will keep you updated with that. And we know that you're eager to get your hands on the new kits. As soon as we can reveal a design, as soon as it's confirmed, and as soon as we have a date and a time that they're going to come into the club shop and be available, we will, of course, let you know. But exciting times. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how we dress up, if you like, next year.
Definitely. Yeah. And I said, you know, we haven't even got the designs in our head at the minute. So I think the most important thing to remember at the moment is we're, in terms of the season, in terms of preparation, preparation is going on, but it's almost as if we're just a month behind where we potentially would be. The fact, you know, with the season potentially starting in September, that's how it's sort of playing out at the moment. So yeah, I'm as being the kit manager here at the club, I'm very excited to see that. I always love getting my hands on the new items, and I know the players always look forward to that first day back in training and getting hands on their
fresh
kit.
Gear.
You know, a massive highlight of pre-season for everyone. Yeah. So yeah, once that date comes around, we will of course document and make sure that you guys are the first to know as well.
Fantastic, James. Thank you for that. And we're going to have another chat now about a different topic. Obviously, this is the second week back for the academy. And we've already commented on the weather. It's been very different to the first week where we had quite a lot of rain. They're here Monday to Thursday and the lessons are taking place Wednesday and Thursday. So it's been another busy week, hasn't it?
It certainly has, yeah, as you say. So Monday to Thursdays, the scholars, the Year 12 scholars are in and they're coming in their individual groups as we spoke about last week. Again, attendance has just been fantastic and it's great to see the enthusiasm in amongst the scholars for their training and also for their teaching sessions as well. I know they're getting really involved in that. And I suppose it's just great for them to be able to, you know, get out of the house and see their friends that they probably weren't able to see for a long time. And that's the amazing thing about our academy is it's so diverse. You have people coming from all around London and Kent. So again, you know, people who might not be able to see friends, schoolmates on a regular basis are now being able to do that again.
At a distance, of course.
Of course.
Just to cut in there. Last week, it's obviously a case of getting used to the routine, the one-way system, all the hand sanitizers. I know you've been involved with that as well. It seems like everyone's adapted quite well to that now, and it's just part of normality, part of the routine now.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. As soon as they're coming in, they're hand sanitizing, they're bringing in their gloves and their masks. They're using the one-way system that was implemented. Once they're on the pitch, they're all sort of respecting each other's space at the moment, following the government guidelines. And of course, the coaches as well are leading by example as well. I'm sure you've seen in a lot of the photos we've put out. Of course, they're wearing their masks, their gloves, and again, just it's great for them to be able to get back out there whilst it's still in small groups and it's not, you know, what they're probably used to. It's a second weeking, and as you say, they're getting a bit more used to what is the new normal now. And I think last week you had some of the students have to go through quite torrential rain and thunderstorms, and this week they've got the complete opposite in 30 degree plus heats, especially on the AstroTurf as well. It's usually a little couple of degrees hotter just from the heat from the floor rising. So yeah, they've had the sort of both ends of the spectrum over the past couple of weeks, but they're all loving it out there at the minute, and it's great for them to play football in this weather.
Sprinklers have been on as well, haven't they? I saw a tweet the other day from someone saying they miss getting soaked by them before kickoff when the wind comes in on a match day. If those sprinklers are on, you've not got much chance of staying dry, have you? They're more like jets, aren't they, than sprinklers?
Yeah. No, again, I think a couple of, when we had them on earlier, the lads that are getting in early on Monday, I think they were getting themselves underneath the sprinklers when they could, just to try and cool off a bit. But yeah, as you say, it's just trying to have that bit of normality to it, and that's what we used to do when we had the first team in and things like that. So yeah, just for us as well as staff, having that routine back together and trying to sort of do things that just make it feel a little bit more normal than obviously what it can't be at the moment.
And talking to the bad weather, I think tomorrow actually, which is Friday, if you listen to this later, there's meant to be thunderstorms Whether that's been predicted, whether that happens or not, is something else. But I think it looks like the Academy are going to dodge the bad weather day this week.
So yeah, that's
almost as if it's deliberate. But it's been brilliant to have them back, hasn't it? And just see some life around the place. And really, as we spoke with Jeff about last week, this is a first step as a club for us to return. And, you know, for things like our youth teams and our first team eventually to begin a return to the club and what that might look like initially. And hopefully, as we edge back to normality, a bit more like what we used to and what we love. But yes, thank you, James, for that update. It's really, really good to have everybody back, as I was saying. Now, we owe you something of an apology for this week's podcast. Not a lot has happened, and we've tried to cover what has happened in as much detail as possible. I just wanted to address a couple of things. I've seen a few comments about things like retained lists. Now, obviously, normally we would have confirmed to you a retained list by now. We would probably have done that towards the end of May, beginning of June. We are in the process of hopefully being able to confirm that to you, possibly on next week's episode. Please don't hold us to that, but we hopefully be able to confirm it to you by then. And obviously, by that point, it will probably have appeared on the website as well. So keep your eyes peeled on the website over the next week. And yes, I know you're all very keen to know what's going on with players. Obviously, the current situation hasn't made it any easier for us, and especially for Neil as well, who I feel quite sorry for at the minute in terms of, you know, players that he wants to bring in. It's sort of...
such an unknown, isn't it?
Yeah, put the brakes on it a little bit as such, and we're looking at a six-week delay to everything. So we are, in effect, catching up with ourselves still and trying to see what's out there and what we can do. Another thing that we're going to hopefully bring you some more information on is to all of our fantastic season ticket holders, nearly 600 of them, I believe, isn't it, this year, which was a record for the club and really, really fantastic to see that figure, along with the average attendance, was...
continues to rise.
2022 was the average attendance last year. We hit the 2,000 mark. That was our target. What a fantastic achievement. All of those 600 season ticket holders, as you say, the figures just continue to rise, and we'll be hoping for that again next season. And obviously, once it's possible to, we don't know when that's going to be, we'll confirm ticket details and things like that. But a lot of you will be wondering what is going to happen with your current season tickets. Obviously, you still had, I think it was 4 home games, wasn't it, when everything was sort of called to a halt. Left to experience of your 1920 season tickets. So again, that is something that is on the priority list of the management at the club, and we hope to be able to bring you more on that next week. But I think, James, the message is now just thanks to everyone for their patience and understanding.
Of course, and we're doing our absolute best to keep you as well informed as we can. As Matt's mentioned, it's a completely new sort of era to sort of be involved in terms of a football club. Yeah, the whole planning and things for the first team and for every other team at this club has been sort of pushed back. And we're going to do our best to keep you informed, and hopefully doing this podcast is a way of doing that as well. Matt, as you said at the start there, the fact that it's been a slightly quiet week in terms of news and things to bring you. One thing I did want to mention, and it's also a nice link to the club, is to give a shout out to Ollie Lancaster, who is actually a father to Theo, who's in our youth academy. And he is taking part in some fundraising for the Demelza Hospice this weekend. We've recently put a tweet out and also a post out on Facebook and on Instagram, just raising some awareness to this. And to be brutally honest with you, I'm actually really glad that I'm not taking part in the fundraising, because it is astonishing what he's attempting to do. It's called the 60K Ultimate Fitness Challenge, brace yourselves for this. It sounds quite horrible. 1,000 press-ups, 1,000 steps carrying a 100-kilogram barbell, a 4,000-meter swim, a 10,000-meter run, a 10,000-meter row, and a 34,000-meter cycle. So this is something that I believe he's taken part in along with some other teammates over the past few years, actually using those things, you know, using a bike, going out on a road, using potentially some form of swimming lake to take part in the swim. Obviously, that's not been possible this year. What he is doing is using sort of virtual means to complete the distances. And this is all in aid of raising money, as I said, for the Demelza Hospice Care for Children. Ollie is actually related to Lady Penny, who is obviously the wife of Sir Roger Stewart.
Roger Stewart, yeah.
And I know that he's also mentioned on this thing that that Sir Rod and Lady Penny have offered to match whatever the total raised via his fundraising page, which we have got a link to on our social media, will be matched. And their target is to raise £6,000 on this page, which is on UKVirginMoneyGiving.com. And so the hope is there that obviously Sir Roger Stewart and Lady Penny will match that to raise £12,000. So yeah, if you can get involved in that or help in any way, or just spread some awareness for that, give it a retweet, give it a share on Facebook. I know Ollie and his family and everyone associated with the Melzer Hospice will be really appreciative of that.
Yeah, it's really, really fantastic to see, and a really, really valuable cause, isn't it? I was reading into it earlier when we were discussing it before recording this podcast, and a lovely gesture from Sir Rod to match that total as well, along with his family. And
absolutely,
he's a real football man, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He loves his football. And I know that he knows a fair bit about us now as well, which is amazing.
I believe he met our academy director, Mark Hammond, at a recent concert at the O2. And I think that's where Mark Hammond was then introduced, or had sort of been introduced to Ollie, and since then they've formed a good friendship, which is how we've been made aware of this fundraising campaign. So again, massive shout out to Ollie for that. Really hope everyone gets behind you at the football club.
And I think from us, good luck, Ollie.
Absolutely.
I think you're a better man than me for doing that. It's astonishing effort. I can't believe what you were telling me.
I know.
I didn't think it was as much as that when I read it earlier, but an absolutely astonishing effort, and one that I'm sure a lot of supporters and we as a club really want to get behind. So good luck, Ollie.
Look forward
to see how you're getting on later on. I think that's taking place in a couple of days' time.
Yeah, I think it's this weekend. I believe it's on Sunday.
Fantastic. Well, we'll keep everyone updated with that and how it gets on. I know they've got a target to raise money for, so something I'm sure we're all going to get behind. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for that, James. We asked the fans a question last week, didn't we?
We did.
And it was a really nice one, actually, a good suggestion from you. Now, our descriptive language, I think, is going to be
tested here. Isn't it?
Yeah, as obviously they are photos and this is a podcast, so
yeah.
It's not one of those podcasts that you've got the video in the corner watching down on us either.
Potentially, so the best thing to do right now is to log on to our Twitter feed, as that's how we're going to follow these photos up with. So yeah, if you're listening to us on Thursday or Friday, head to our Twitter feed and scroll down a bit, and you should start seeing the photos that we retweeted as of today. And I think what we'll do is start by looking at Annabelle's one, and she said in the tweet that this is my favourite and shows how much the club and fans mean to Jack Holland. So that's a photo. It was actually taken by my brother. I think I've got a couple of his photos featuring this. And it's of Jack. He's holding his shirt. This is at Bristol Rovers away at the end of the game when we obviously drew 1-1. He's holding his shirt, obviously looking at the Bromley badge, and he's looking towards the away support as well. Very big smile on his face there. That is a great photo.
What a great day that was. I mean, you know, that's going to live long in the memory.
Yeah.
I think that featured heavily last week, didn't it, on the best moments of the season on or off the pitch. Next one, Will Drummond's got a few photos, actually, of himself and some friends going to matches. I think my favourite is the one with Mark Anthony Okoye in it, which
is a great photo.
Is such a, especially when he retired, that was the image. He was a real people's person, wasn't he?
He certainly was.
Fantastic character. Well, he still is, you know. He still keeps in touch with all of us, which is great. And he's honestly one of the nicest, most professional players that I've ever come across.
It was a massive loss, wasn't it?
On and off the pitch, both as a character and what a player he was as well. So hope he's keeping well and. Yeah,
great photos there from Will. Move on to Richard Sims, and he says that Alfie Doughty, far too good for this level, and now regular back at Charlton. So the photo of, is that legendary photo of him scoring the opener against Notts County.
Two minutes in, wasn't it?
And it's just the emotion on the supporters' faces is just fantastic there. And of course, Alfie's as well. You could tell he's just so delighted to score. And again, that's got to be up there, one of the photos of the season, just that. Glyn Beverley stand packed to the absolute rafters and just everyone up in arms at that goal.
Could that have been Alfie Doughty's first professional goal? I think it was, wasn't it?
That's a great shot.
Because he'd have had time at Kingstonian before, but as a semi-professional. I think that's his first professional goal.
Well, there you go.
That's a now championship player.
The emotion in his face there. It's clearly, that is.
And against Notts County as well, in front of, well, we had our youth day that day, didn't we, which I remember. And was a fantastic attendance, over 3,000, wasn't it, that day? And what a day it was. Similar weather to what we're experiencing
really
now,
is.
Actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. And we'll move on to, I think Mark's certain individual region. Has been quite greedy here.
Mark has sent us 16 photos. To be fair to him, I think all of them have been taken by himself.
Which I didn't really realise, nice. But I mean, I wish, Mark, you know, we'd seen these earlier. These are fantastic, and we'd love to potentially use some if you don't mind, because they are absolutely fantastic photos, yeah.
So the first, let's take it four at a time. I'll do four,
yep,
you do four.
Go yeah, for
so
it.
The first four that Mark sent us is the celebration, one of them, of the goal at Dagenham, which again, I think someone mentioned last week on the podcast, what a great moment that was in front of the cameras. The second one is Frankie Raymond remonstrating with the referee, yep. Which is that's not like Frankie to, you know,
no,
fly him with a tackle, is it?
So.
You know, Frankie wears his heart on his sleeve,
yep.
Doesn't he? And yeah, he's
often
chatting with the referee. I think we'll leave it at that. But yeah, that was away at Eastleigh. Neil and Mark Hammond having a chat. I think that's Yeovil away, isn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously bizarre events that game.
Certainly
that,
was.
That we won't go into now. But yeah, one of the.
I think their expressions do sum up the mood of that day.
Yeah, I mean,
just complete confusion. Ammo
just looks befounded,
utter
doesn't it?
Disbelief
yeah.
of what's just unfolded. Yeah.
And a really nice one actually. The next one, Ryan Huddart about to take a goal kick at Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
A lovely picture as well. And again, the Bristol Rovers theme carrying on there, James.
Yeah, absolutely. We move on to one of Billy Byng looking towards the away fans. It's a great front-on photo of Billy clapping the away support. And the next one is again of Luke Coulson and Billy Bingham. That was away at Notts County. And that follows then on to one of Bingham and Cheek celebrating Cheek's goal at Notts County as well. And the fourth one is a great photo of Paul Gascoigne at Bromley next to our chairman, Robin Stanton-Gleaves, on the pitch ahead of that Solihull Moors game.
Ahead of that soaking by the sprinkler, I think. We
yes.
talked about the sprinklers earlier. I remember being called down to the pitch to talk, I think. At length about
yeah.
obviously the footballing legend that was on the pitch in,
yeah.
in Paul Gascoigne, and really what a great thing for us to have him at the
it
club
was incredible.
For 3 days straight. And I just remember I was on the radio mic, and Robin and Gazza were holding up the shirt, and then all of a sudden you hear the noise of the sprinkler. I turned my head, and it was slowly making its way. I think a few people had to get away,
yeah.
and as it slowly made its way around, we kept moving round towards the pitch advertising boards, and it just seemed to keep following us, and
yeah.
it didn't stop. Luckily enough, I think we avoided, and more importantly, Gazza and Robin avoided
yeah.
being soaked in that as well. And what a great inspiration that was for the players when he came to watch the training as well.
It was amazing, and as you say, Matt, we had him down for the training and for the game, and it just felt like. It was, we had him for sort of 3 days straight. It was amazing the fact that we had him in the club. You know, he came around and saw the whole tour of it, saw how, you know, everything operated during the day and then on a match day. And he seemed to love it. And it was just great to witness that and obviously meet him as well. You know, what an absolute legend.
Oh, lovely.
Game.
And obviously he did an intro for this podcast. I don't think I've ever been so nervous asking for something than that day. And he was like, of course I'll do it. Mm. And he was joking around. He did a joke one. I've still got that. The spoof recording that he did, which was brilliant. And yeah, like you say, James, great to have around the place. And someone who still keeps in contact with Neil now, regularly chats to Neil. I'm sure he's going to be back
yeah,
down at some
he
point.
He certainly will.
And he's more than welcome here. He's a footballing legend, and it's not many clubs that get to say they have him visit, is it? Mark Tregent with his third instalment of photos. Sam Wood's face is a picture in that one, and so is Chris Bush's as well. Obviously, when Mark Cousins got injured in that Yeovil game in the first minute, Chris Bush donned the gloves, didn't he, for that game? And you got him,
That's a great photo.
Just after. That is a brilliant photo. I think that's the more comical side
that's
of it,
brilliant.
Isn't it? Not a moment I'm convinced Bushy will want to remember too much. Obviously, he did concede three goals, but to be fair to him, his kicking was unbelievable, wasn't it? And he did make a couple of saves. He's not a goalkeeper, let's remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the more... I think when we all saw him going in goal, at the time, obviously, we were more concerned about Mark's well-being. And obviously, now that we know Mark's all right, we can look back on it. On the moment Bushy went in goal. It was a really scary 20 minutes, half hour, that. And like I say, not a very strange day, one we want to remember. Our
Absolutely.
First defeat as well. So and then obviously soon after that came a goal, didn't it? Michael Cheek
did.
Put us ahead. And actually, we could have gone 2-0 up not long after that. It wasn't to be, of course. But like I say, there are more important things than the result on
of
that
course.
Day. The third one was the, a really poignant moment, I think, really, was the Remembrance Day pre-match at Bristol
Absolutely,
Rovers, and all
yeah.
the players lining up and all the coaches and staff around the centre circle. And I just remember observing that. I don't know about you, James, obviously being on the bench Just observing that in the stand, in the press box, and it was a
could
really,
hear a pin drop in the stadium,
really touching moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And the fact that it was so well put on by Bristol Rovers, you have to give massive credit to them as a club. It was a fantastic remembrance ceremony. And just an amazing moment to look back on. There was just so much on that day that will stick in everyone's memory, I'm sure. And that moment was definitely one of those.
I'm just laughing at the last one, actually, the last photo.
Pure emotion.
Not the most flattering photos of Rico in particular.
No. showing Reece us what he's at for breakfast. Grabbing on for dear life almost on his shoulder.
He is, yeah. What a moment that was. I mean, I think is that when Cheek's still trying to claim the goal? Because actually, it could have gone either way, couldn't it? Bush hooked it towards the line. And Cheek got to it, but I think it was just after it had gone over the line.
It certainly was. And I think he'd done a few of them this season, just trying to poke it in at the end. But
and he has done on most occasions.
Yeah, you're not wrong. We'll move on to Mark's final four photos. The first one is of Mark Cousins, and that was away at Eastleigh. And I think this is next one is Eastleigh based as well. Yeah, that was Luke scoring the... Oh, what a goal that was.
Brilliant goal.
Chip from outside the box.
Should have won that day, shouldn't we?
We should have done. Another one of the celebrations after Doughty's goal against Notts County, so that's featured twice in this section. And there's one of Rico in the warm-up away at Yeovil. Fantastic photos, Mark. Thanks again for sending those in. And yeah, please do, if you're continuing to do that during games for the next season,
Brilliant.
If of course we can
Thank
be allowed
Mark
back out there, please post them because they are fantastic. We would love to share them as we have done here.
Paul Hawhey is the next one to send in a photo. This is quite a funny
this
one,
is great.
Actually. Again, Bristol Rovers away. Yeah. I sound like a broken
so
record.
So much has happened at that game.
So the steward, and I'm going to try my best to describe this, it's taken from the sort of the midpoint or the back of the stand, that temporary stand, the temporary permanent stand, I think we called it.
Yeah.
And the steward at the front is sort of pointing up towards the roof of the stand, but there's a pole that's sort of half broken that meets his finger in the picture so well. It looks like he's holding the entire stand up with one finger. It's an absolutely brilliant photo, Paul. I don't know whether that's Paul's photo or whether Paul actually meant to take that and meant to get that moment or whether it was just by chance, but thank you for sending that in, Paul. That's certainly one we've had a little chuckle at.
Yeah, and we move on to the second to last one now, and this is from Dawn. And it's, some great photos, family-orientated photos here. She sent one of her son coming out with the team as mascots. And the next one is obviously of her son taking on the penalty shootout on the pitch. Dave Cookie makes an appearance here.
Yes,
That's
looks like he's advertising PG Tips.
He does, yeah.
I'm not really sure. Is there something going on there?
Is he trying to get free tea bags or something? Who knows? And then one at the end's brilliant. It's just a whole family set up there. Again, away at Bristol Rovers by the looks of it. Yeah. So, yeah, great photos there.
And Dawn, again, replying from a different account, which is the company Alpine Law, who has sponsored some players this season.
Yep.
So thank you to Alpine Law for that. They were also match sponsors. I think it was the Barnet game, and Dawn's put up a few photos of the Exec Club, which is a fantastic experience if you haven't experienced it already. Maybe not what a lot of people are used to at a football game, more traditional sort of pint and watching the game. It's a different experience and definitely something worth trying. And Dawn's put up some photos of her presenting, her and her husband Clive presenting Luke Coulson with the Man of the Match Award, which, again, a great experience. And just to quickly touch on, James, I'm not sure if you've got it up, so I'm not going to take a chance. Colin Head's commented on the Facebook post, and he said he can't paste the picture, but it was Mark Anthony Okoye tackling a Fulham player with Colin watching on.
We'll try and find that one and dig that out, and hopefully we'll post that. I'm sure we've got it somewhere on our collection.
Definitely. Well, thank you to everyone who sent those in. It's great that the supporters really, really engage with the questions that we put out. And, big thank you for sharing some of your favourite moments with us.
Yes, yeah, brilliant to get everyone's photos through. And again, hopefully we've done our best to go through them and describe them. But as I said, if you want to go back and have a look at those, head to our Twitter feed. They've all been retweeted, so they'll be on our main page. I think it's about time we ask our listeners for another question, Matt.
Yes, James, you've had another moment this week, haven't you? Another brainwave, and another question from you.
Yep. So basically, next weekend we would potentially had obviously this pandemic not happened, we would potentially have been playing our first pre-season game, and just following on for that, we'd like to know what your favourite away pre-season fixture with Bromley has been. So that could be in relation to it being a new ground, that somewhere you maybe never been before, the fact that it was a great result, potentially looking back to last season at Dulwich Hamlet, winning the Glenbury Memorial Cup.
I quite like going to Dulwich. Yeah,
I thought that was a great evening as well. Nice weather, and obviously to win a piece of silverware on a penalty shootout, it's always good as well. Anything that's potentially it's going somewhere down to the coast. I know looking back, we played places like Eastbourne and Hastings, I think, just to think of two. So if there's anything along those lines, yeah, we'd just love to know what your favourite away pre-season fixture has been since you've supported the club. And please feel free to send in photos, videos, just any description you have of the games. We'd love to be able to listen to your thoughts, and we'll of course read them out as usual next week.
I love pre-season, James, because you can just watch football matches without having to worry about the result. You can watch your club. You know, it's all about seeing how those new players are settling in. It's an exciting time for the fans.
I agree.
New kits, new players, and obviously last season, new stand as well, which just really added to it, didn't
Completely agree with you. I know some people are a bit sort of 50-50 on pre-season, not really fussed about it. But I think it's great. The weather's usually amazing.
It is, yeah.
You get to go to places that, potentially you don't go to during a season. We hope usually welcome Football League clubs. It's always great to see how our players fare against Football League opposition, sometimes even Premier League opposition, looking back to when we played Crystal
Palace.
Great
crowds as well.
And again, some crowds for that. You just have to, again, look at last year when we had the Glenbeverley stand opening. So, yeah, I love pre-season too, Matt.
James, before we finish, I think that's nearly about it for us. I think we've done quite well, haven't we, considering there wasn't much.
Absolutely. We're coming up to almost 40 minutes.
Hopefully everyone's still awake at this point.
Yep.
Apologies if not. we should have some more news for you next week. James, it's been another great month for the 100 Plus Club. About time we called it the 300 Plus Club, maybe.
I think so. And just to see everyone's response to our attempt to try and get up to 500 numbers into the draw.
Still coming in, aren't they?
Still coming in. I think in time for last month's draw, for June's draw, we had 321 numbers in total. So that is an incredible total, considering by name it used to be around 100, if not less. I'll run through the winners. So the prize fund in total for this month was £802.50. The same amount goes to the club. So first prize was £321, and that went to Peter Fraser. The second prize, reading these numbers out, these are fantastic prizes, aren't they?
What a change, isn't it? What a change.
Second prize, £192.60. Again, not to be sniffed at, as Tony Guy. Third place, £128.40, went to Ian Reid. Now, this was the funny news of this week.
Well,
place.
On his debut, on his 100-plus
club
debut.
£96.30 went to Neil Smith,
who has kindly donated it back to the club.
There you go. So that's great news, and full credit to Smudger for that. And fifth place, £64.20 went to Clive Goodwin. That means that the total raised to the club since its introduction now stands at £26,589.60.
And as of that draw, James, 341 numbers had been allocated. And I know actually since then, we promoted it a bit more this week via the Ravens Weekly, for those of you who received those emails. And actually just chatting to people as well, we've managed to get a few more members as well. So yet again in July, we're going to have another record draw, aren't we?
Wouldn't it be amazing to sort of hopefully get into August and potentially be close to that 400 mark, and potentially be looking at a 500 target being achieved
and then
this
being
year.
Able to do it on the match days again, you know,
that'd
hopefully when
amazing.
We return, which would be fantastic. And just to touch on that, it would not have been possible without John Richardson and Arthur Duplock, who have put a lot of time and effort into this. And it was actually their idea as a way of fundraising money for the club back in the day, as Jeff mentioned before. So big thank you to both of them for their continued support with it. And John's doing the draws from home at the minute. And letting us know as soon as they come in. So great numbers, and when you read out that number of how much it's raised for the club, it's fantastic. So.
Incredible. If you want to get involved, please head to our website. It's the main article at the moment. You'll find all the details there, as well as the results from this month's draw. So yeah, just head to our website and you'll be able to apply through there.
Yes, I think that's about it, isn't it, James?
I think it is, Matt.
So thank you to you, James.
Absolute pleasure, as always.
For joining me today. We're going to go and enjoy the nice weather now. Thank you to all of you for listening to us and for putting up with us again, as usual. We'll be back with you next week. Take care, have a great week, and see you soon.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.